I want us to look tonight at a area that we don't talk about too much. It is a basis for some of the things that Paul did during the distinguishing period there called a dispensation of the gospel, where he preached the gospel of Christ before the gospel of the grace of God, and led people, invited people by the gospel into the body of Christ, starting back then at, well, he was first one in the body of Christ, so it started when he was saved. We'll be talking about the Greeks. That does bear, what we'll be talking about bears on the Greeks. The gospel of God, and then the gospel of Christ, and their relation to each other. Separating out those that believe, as Mark was talking about, not necessarily to a building with a steeple. And then finally, we want to get to a work, what the Bible calls a work. I have some verses listed to guide our thinking, and I hope to discuss some thoughts that are related to what we have been talking about, but not exactly the same. We'll look at some things about Paul's manner. He talks about his manner during the period there, basically between Acts 13 and Acts 19. And the Greeks, who were the Greeks? The Bible keeps talking about the Jews and the Greeks. See, third thing would be the sequence and order of the gospel of God and the gospel of Christ we mentioned briefly before. What happened to the body of Christ when people believed the gospel of Christ before the dispensation of the grace of God? And what about what was that work that Habakkuk prophesied about? The work. If Habakkuk prophesied about it, it wasn't the mystery. And Paul is involved in the mystery, but that's not all. So this doesn't infringe on the mystery or violate the difference between prophecy and mystery. The way I understand the relevant scriptures, for a while after Paul preached, first of all, the resurrected Messiah in the town of Corinth there when he went, verse 4, 18, Acts 18:4, he was in the synagogue, and it was a mixed group there that believed what Paul preached in the synagogues, as his manner was, and you can trace what his manner was. And it matches what Paul calls the gospel of God in the first four verses of Romans. So, Acts 17, verses 1 through 3, tell us what Paul's manner was. I'm forgetting. I may have said it was in Acts 18. That was Corinth. And verse 4, he was in the synagogue. But here we're talking about in Thessalonica in Acts 17, the first three verses of the chapter tell us what Paul's manner was when he accomplished his sending, to being sent to preach the gospel. He would go, well, let's look at the verses. Let's read them. That's it. First verse, Acts 17:1. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And verse 2, and Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. That was what his habit was, what his manner, his way of doing things was. What did he reason with them out of the Scriptures? Verse 3, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead. So there's the resurrection. And that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. And that's what he claimed in John, was it John 4? I think John 4, 25 and 26. He claimed to be the Messiah. And that means that when Paul arrived at a city where he would preach the gospel, he went to the synagogue first, the synagogue of the Jews. And for 3 Sabbath days, it could be, you know, as short as 15 days or, what would it be, 27 days, he would be there. But for 3 Sabbath days, that's what we're told about, he would meet with them. And he preached the facts about who Jesus is. Those facts we just mentioned and saw in Acts 17:3. The resurrection, and that Jesus is the Christ. Well, in Romans 1, verses 1 through 4, Paul called those facts the gospel of God. And it's significant. It's not just they're all the same. Well, Jesus is God, so it's the same as the gospel of Jesus, or the same as gospel of Jesus Christ. Or no. God knew what he was talking about, and we shouldn't ignore it. The gospel of God is the gospel of God, not the gospel of Christ. The context of his various target audiences shows that he always preached the gospel of God facts before he would preach to them the gospel of salvation, called the gospel of Christ at that time. And Paul would preach the gospel of salvation, the gospel of Christ, to those Jews and Greeks that believed the gospel of God facts. But he wasn't able to do that in the synagogue. So, of those Jews and Greeks believing that Jesus is the resurrected Messiah, only some of them went on to believe the gospel of Christ that leads to salvation, that Christ died for our sins. And thus they were saved, those that believed the gospel of God and then got to hear the gospel of Christ and believed that Christ died for their sins, they were saved. And they were saved into the body of Christ. And it's not a separate event or a separate attainment. But they were part of a temporary, in that local assembly there, they were part of a mixed local group in that city, no longer in the synagogue. Those who believed the gospel of God facts that Paul preached in the synagogue, but did not go on to believe that God was calling them by the gospel of Christ, they did believe the gospel of God. They were part of that same temporary mixed group that no longer was welcome in the synagogue there, the apostate synagogue. The synagogue was run by apostate Jews, ones that, look at the verses in John 9:22. We'll start in John 9:22, and then we'll look at three or four more that tell why they weren't in the synagogue anymore. Why, you know, the condition of the synagogue. John 9:22, these words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. Excuse me just a minute. So there is, at least one instance where it had been put into practice when, by the time of John chapter 9, that if they believed in Jesus, they couldn't come to the synagogue anymore. John 12:42. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also, many believed on him. Many of those chief rulers, it says. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. So there you've got almost the identical restriction there, not to not to believe, you know, if you're in the synagogue, you're not to believe that Jesus is the risen Messiah. John, this is Jesus talking to his disciples now, and I'm not sure whether it's the disciples or just the apostles, but we'll see. John 16, verses 1, 2, and 3. These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yeah, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God a service. And these things they will do unto you because they have not known the Father, nor me. So they are apostate in the synagogues. And when someone comes, Paul, and preaches that Jesus is the God, is the Son of God, is the Messiah, and that he's alive from the dead, risen from the dead, it's clashing with them. They feel like they have to protect their old-time religion. Those Jews and Greeks that believed the gospel of God facts, but did not go on to believe that Jesus was calling them into the body of Christ by the gospel of Christ, they remained the circumcision, but they became the believing circumcision. And those two groups, the believing circumcision that were not allowed back in the synagogue, and those that heard the gospel of God and then got to hear the gospel of Christ, believed it and became saved into the body of Christ, that's the second group, or the other group. They are the two groups that you can see in these four verses we're going to read. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, starting in verse 17. But as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called everyone, so let him walk. In other words, you're not necessarily going to be in tune with the crowd. As God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called everyone, so let him walk. And we read in another verse in 2 Thessalonians 2:14 that God calls us by the gospel. He calls us by the gospel. Verse 18, 1 Corinthians 7:18. Is any man called being circumcised? Well, not today they're not, but back then they were. There was still circumcision believers, and there was body of Christ believers. But is any man called being circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Is any called in uncircumcision? Let him not be circumcised. Verse 19, circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing but the keeping of the commandments of God. Verse 20, let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. So there was a mixture at that time, not today, but at that time there was a mixture of believing Israelites, believing Jews, believing circumcision, as well as those that were believing something else. They were believing what had been revealed to Paul, the mystery that you can be part of the body of Christ by believing Christ died for your sins. And those two groups were, they knew each other, they were in the same synagogue together, and they both had to leave the synagogue and not come back. So they met together with either Paul or one of his representatives would teach them in what we've been calling Paul's meetings, but it's actually the beginning of the body of Christ on the local evidence or local local showing manifestation of the body of Christ, that it's there. Look at 1 Corinthians 1, verse 9. God is faithful. It's good that we can depend on God because our salvation comes from Him, from what He said and from our believing it. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. In that verse, we read about God's call for those people who would become part of the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, by believing the gospel of Christ, that Christ had sent Paul to dispense and begin dispensing during that time. It was an introduction. He had to let the people know that the Messiah they knew had a new pattern of salvation that he had revealed to Paul. Paul saved Paul. Sinner Paul was the first saved as a sinner. So that call would be into the body of Christ by the gospel of Christ. And that call of God was being relayed by Paul, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 2, to that formerly Jewish gathering, which had become that temporary mixed group that we talked about. And all of them believed the gospel of God, the basics of who Jesus is. Let's look at that verse in the second verse in the book of 1 Corinthians, or the epistle. Second verse, unto the church of God. What was the church of God? Unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. The church of God that Paul refers to is identified in Galatians 1:13. And this, again, we need to believe the words on the page. He addressed this letter to the church of God. Galatians 1:13 says, "For you have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it." So the church of God is that church which existed before Paul was saved. It was the believing circumcision with the little flock, the 12. The 12 being leaders of it. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 7, verses 17 to 20 that we read a few minutes ago, each of them, for each of them to obey God's individual call to them. That was because at that time, just after the nation of Israel's fall, God still called some individuals of them to continue waiting for their sins to be blotted out at the time of Christ's return in the future to reign in Israel, to reign the world, reign over the world from Israel. While God called others of them to believe Paul's gospel of Christ, to be saved into the body of Christ at that time. That's those two groups. And these verses show what was believed by the new circumcision believers in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is significant. It's significant. It identifies who he is. His name is Jesus. His name is Christ or Messiah. And it's the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord, he's God. And he says, the Bible tells us so in John, 1 John 5:20, but we'll go on to Acts 3:19 here. Acts 3:19 through 21, this was what Peter told Israel. This is what Israel, the circumcision group, was to believe. "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began." And that's not the only place we're told that. Look at Zechariah chapter 13, verse 1. In that day there shall be a fountain opened to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin, a fountain opened for sin and for uncleanness. But none of Paul's temporary mixed group were still apostate, since all Paul's temporary mixed group now believed the gospel of God, the facts about the name of Jesus, who Jesus is. His name is Jesus Christ, Messiah. And that he is the resurrected Christ. And those facts, again, are what we're told and defined as being the gospel of God in Romans 1, 1 through 4. Let's look at them. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which was he had promised, who God had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. So it's talking about what was prophesied, not mystery. And it's concerning his son, Jesus Christ, Messiah. Christ meaning Messiah in Hebrew. And concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. That's the line, messianic line that the king was to come through. And declared to be the Son of God with power. Definitely the Son of God. Declared to be so according to the Spirit of Holiness. By the resurrection from the dead. The gospel of God declares the identity of Jesus, the name of Jesus, how you identify who he is, and how you know when he comes. Paul never preached the gospel of the kingdom to anyone. And we can know that by Galatians 1:13. For you have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. And look down in Galatians 2:18 now. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. The point is that some were saved. Some of Paul's temporary mixed group of Gospel of God believers to whom Paul wrote this epistle, some of them were saved in the body of Christ by believing the Gospel of Christ. While some were still under the circumcision covenant gospel, waiting to be saved when Christ returns to reign from Israel. Acts chapter 9 through Acts chapter 28, that period is unique in that only there and in the epistles during that time period are there two sets of apostles, two gospels, two sets of churches, two sets of doctrine, two commissions still going on. So Paul was not waiting. He didn't want to confuse any of the believing little flock Jews or to try to steal Jews to fill up the body of Christ. Those Jews who had already heard the gospel of the circumcision but were still deciding whether to believe it or not that Jesus was the risen Messiah. They were still being called by God into Israel's little flock. That flock still existed at that time. It doesn't now. Nobody's being called into circumcision now. Paul was eager to win apostate Jews that God was calling as part of the remnant according to the election of grace. Those apostate Jews. Not the believing circumcision. But he left those who already were part of the prophetic remnant, the remnant there in Acts 11, 7 and 8, verses 7 and 8. He left those, that little flock, they were to be discipled by Israel's 12 apostles or their fellow workers. Some of the prophetic remnant were formerly apostate Jews that only became prophetic remnant when they heard the gospel of God preached to them by Paul. Then they knew that Jesus is the Christ that they were waiting for. But they were among those that had been called in circumcision. So they didn't respond to the gospel of Christ. They responded to the gospel of circumcision. Paul wasn't preaching that. He preached the gospel of God. That's why they use the Peter uses the word converted in Acts 3:19. We're not converted. We're saved. We were going the wrong way, and the Lord plucked us out of right before the waterfall, out of the creek. Just an analogy there, but Israel, before Christ came, they were trying to do what they were told to do and what they had agreed to do. They were not trying. I mean. Like the Gentiles were left to their own devices, their own sins. But Israel was trying to be religious the way God had shown them a religion to follow. And, we're told by Paul that it was to show that they needed a Savior, that they were sinners. But they kept doing it. What they needed was to believe that Jesus was the Messiah, to believe in the name of Jesus. And they would be converted, believing the right thing then. So, Paul wasn't trying to save the believing remnant, the little flock, into the body of Christ. That was off bounds to him. I mean, that wasn't his calling. He cared about them, but he knew there were still some going into Peter's group, into the 12, or into the little flock, believing the circumcision gospel. He knew that was their calling, but the ones that were called to believe the gospel of Christ, Paul had to preach that to them. He preached, and some believed, and they were in the body of Christ. There's a technical exception about the status of apostate Jews from the synagogue that started believing the gospel of God. They had not been little flock type people, even though they were Jews. They were apostate. When they believed the gospel of God, they newly became little flock type people. Paul preached the gospel of Christ to them without violating Romans 15 verse 20. And let's look at that just before we close. Romans 15:20. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. Paul never violated his Romans 15 verse 20 attempt to avoid preaching the gospel of Christ where Christ was already named, lest he should build on another man's foundation. So, and just before we close, let's notice the words on the page. That's what we're to believe, not what we hear a preacher tell us. He was not bound to that. He was striving to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named. He was trying hard, not just trying, but trying hard, striving to preach the gospel only where Christ had not been named. And that's different, though, from saying, I pledged to never preach the gospel where Christ was named, or I vow to never preach the gospel. He's not doing that. He's trying to stay. He had already been through that experience going up through Galatia area there, or the upper coasts, and being directed away from, what was it, Bithynia, and I forget, there's another name associated with that, but in Acts 16 there, and then he heard that Macedonian call and widened his Jew and Greek ministry, a work it's called, widened it into Europe instead of just in that Mideast area. So, I'm done for now on that, and we'll try to continue on tomorrow evening.